In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're dealing with the different gifts that are listed there. We looked at the gift of wisdom, the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, gift of healings, the gift of the working of miracles, the gift of prophecy. We've looked at all those, and it's kind of a mix there. There's some that are the signs gifts that have passed away, and there's others that are functional. And today we're going to look at discerning of spirits. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 8, it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits." That's where we're going to park today and next week. "To another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." We'll be dealing with those, if not today, next week. It says, "But all these worketh the one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Now, there's a little bit of a problem here today. If I were to say to you, and I want you to look out for a false prophet this week, that doesn't compute with most people. Most people think, well, false prophet, they're talking about the Old Testament, you know, talking about somebody you know, Balaam, something on that order. But when I'm talking about a false prophet, I'm talking about a person today who is propagating something that is not biblical. They don't wear a robe necessarily. They don't, you know, they don't have a long beard like what you for instance, probably the biggest false prophet in Christendom, and when I say Christendom, that covers everybody who claims to be Christian. You know, my definition of that is partly Christian, but mostly dumb, because they don't believe in biblical Christianity. They call themselves Christian, but the biggest false prophet in Christendom today is Pope Francis. You can like it, you can lump it, you can stand on your head, wiggle yours, whatever you want to. But he's a false prophet. He's an out-and-out false prophet. There's a tendency, even within missions, to push missions because of a particular movement to consider Catholics Christians. I do not care how you slice it, they preach another gospel. And anybody who adds works to salvation is preaching a false gospel. You got the whole collectiveness, I'll be addressing it some next week, but the whole Pentecostal, particularly United Pentecostal movement, they're preaching a false gospel. They say that you have to speak in tongues to be saved, and that is a bald-faced lie. I could go on, and I'll probably, you know, the smiling false prophet. I was watching him the other day, and oh, does he make me feel good? Oh, Joe Osteen got up there in front of all of his thousands of people in the stadium there, and oh, you just feel so warm and fuzzy as you listen to a bunch of mealy-mouthed junk. I mean, you go out of there feeling good. It's like a doctor in there. You go in and you know you've got cancer and you know it's growing, and the doctor tells you jokes and makes you feel good and gives you a Coke and says, "Hey, well, have a good day." That's a lie. So when I'm talking about false prophets, I'm talking about people who are alive and well today. And while not everybody would agree with me, but I believe that Rick Warren is a false prophet. And I've exposed his stuff, and Rob Bell, not Rod, R-O-B, Rob Bell, and a lot of you, I've preached on it, but the emergent church movement, and then you've got, he's they're syncretizing Catholicism and mysticism and New Age and Christianity all in one ball of wax and trying to promote it to the people, and they're telling people that you can worship God the way that you want to worship God, and that is a lie. God tells us that we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship with our mind and worship according to the Word of God. So today we're going to be dealing with the discerning of spirits. Now, when I'm talking about discerning of spirits, that's the God-given ability to distinguish between true and false spirits, true and false teachers, and their teachings. They recognize those who are lying, and these people who have this gift have the uncanny ability of identifying a deceptive, erroneous doctrine. They're kind of like the spiritual watchdogs. And I'll tell you who I think some of them are at the end of the message here. But I want you to turn with me to John chapter 8, if you would. False teachers and false prophets, they get their message from the father of lies. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, and this is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking, and he's talking to these people who are trying to dissuade people from believing that Christ is the Messiah and the Savior, and then they're trying to mix works with salvation. You see, you should know that any time you try to mix works with salvation, that's a lie. I don't care who says it. Your best friend can say it. It's still a lie. But here's where it all comes from. It says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. The desire, you have the same desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar. All right. Now, what that means simply is this: one lie doesn't make a person a liar. But when you lie over and over and over again, you become to have the pattern of a liar, and that's what Satan does. He has that pattern. And look at this, and it goes on. It says, he speaketh a lie. And it says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now look at this. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Here, Jesus Christ, God in human form, is telling them the truth, but they would rather believe the lie. It's more conducive to their lifestyle. It's more conducive to their ends. You see, when you believe the truth, actually you have to make some changes in your life, and sometimes that is not fun. Verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's word. Do you see that? He that is of God heareth God's word. I've actually sat in the counseling room from time to time, and on probably at least four occasions, somebody, when I read the Word of God, they say, I don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear the truth? As Paul said to the Galatians, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the what? The truth. Therefore, ye therefore hear them not because ye are not of God. Oh, I want to tell you, and you know it, but there certainly is a lot of religiosity out there today. Oh, if you get on a Christian mailing list, look out. You get inundated with stuff. You know, ever since the fall, the devil and his demons have been counterfeiting God's message. There's a lot of messages, and the ones that are the most dangerous are the ones that are close to the truth. You know, it's not good for a preacher to say, but somebody said to me once, that's close, but no cigar, you know. It's an old saying, never mind. First Peter chapter 5, turn there to verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. In 1 Peter and chapter 5, in verse 8, here's what it says. Be sober. A couple of things. The word here means to be very watchful. I did it again just recently. I dropped something on the floor and it broke. And I'm in my bare feet. I'll tell you what, I walked very soberly. I watched very carefully trying to get around it, and I didn't pick up my feet and put them down. I kind of scuffed my feet because I wanted to get over to where I could get a paper towel and clean off the rest of the way so I didn't get glass in my feet and get injured. And this is the idea here. You know, as believers today, there's all kinds of philosophies and all kinds of doctrines being promoted, and you need to be sober and not be gullible. You need to prove all things by the Word of God and hold fast to those things that are good and dump the rest. Be vigilant. It's just another way of saying pay attention. Pay attention. Some people walk around in a fog. They're not paying attention, and sometimes I have done that. I got so much, I could see my wife looking at me this morning. We were at breakfast, and I'm thinking of a verse, and I'm staring out the window, and she's going, I wonder what's going on in that boy's head, you know? But I was not paying attention to her, the situation. I'm still working on my message that I'm going to be preaching Monday night in Nebraska. And so I finally got what I wanted there. But we need to pay attention. Why? You know, there's a lot of people who don't really, even Christians, who don't believe in a literal devil. They just kind of think, oh, yeah, that's kind of old. Now, it is true that probably the devil isn't going to have anything to do with you or me because he can only be in one place at one time. The only problem is he has a diabolical horde of other cohorts that are always trying to get us sidetracked and put us on the side. It says, your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. How does he do this? False teachers. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. It's a good illustration. In 2 Peter chapter 2, in verses 1 through 3, it says, but there were false prophets among the people, and there shall be false teachers among you who privily, that's an old word, that means clandestinely, secretly, who secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Now you say, wow, that ought to be clear enough, but look at the next verse. It's not clear enough, and I'll tell you why it's not clear enough. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. What's a pernicious way? It's a destructive way. They're ways of destruction. It says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken. Now watch this. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words, for money, they shall with feigned words. I love that word there. Underneath the word feigned is the word plastos. That is where we get our word plastic. With plastic words. Let me explain in a minute. Plastic is moldable. They take the words and I like to say they know what we want to hear. I've dealt with salesmen like that. They know what you want to hear. I've dealt with religious people that they know just the right words. They know how to mold those words together. But the word's got a hook in them there. It says, who through covetousness for money, with feigned words, look at this, make merchandise. They exploit you. That's what the word merchandise means. They exploit you. Whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Let me just tell you what's talking about here. There are a bunch of Christians who are suckers. P.T. Barnum says a sucker is born every minute. You say, well, what do you mean? Come on, tell me, what do you mean? Well, because they use the same words that you use, let me just tell you, I didn't have anything to do with the decision, but we had a group come to a church where I was the director of Christian education and approached the pastor and say, can we use your auditorium for our convention? He says, what's your group? He says, oh, we're the Bible Students Association. He says, sure, when you want it, we'll loan it to you. And so they had 200 Jehovah Witnesses there preaching in the Baptist church. Oops. Know this. It happens all the time. People who will use plastic words will get you to think that they believe the same thing you do, and because you do, oh, are you born again? Oh, you bet. You need to go deeper than that, because, then can you define for me what born again means? What do you mean by born again? Well, you know, I go to Mass every day. I had somebody tell me that. They said, yes, we're born again Christians. Well, I go to Mass every day. I'm more religious than you are. Well, I have no doubt that they're more religious than me. But I also know that they're not saved. Why? Many are going to say and do say and are still saying today, and people you rub shoulders with, Lord, Lord, just because they use the same vocabulary you use, just because they have the same words you have, does not mean they believe the biblical things that you believe. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Some religions, like the Jehovah Witnesses, they give special courses on how to deal with fundamental Baptists. They do. So, you know, you get in there and you think that they're on the same page as you are. But normally what happens is that I met such and such a person and I am sure they're a believer. How are you sure? Well, they were talking about Jesus. Well, good, but which Jesus were they talking about? The Galatians were believing in another Jesus, which was not another Jesus, but was the false Jesus that was being put in their place. See, there's a lot of people who are so quick to listen to those plastic words that they're deceived. Do you know who the largest number of converts to Mormonism is? Baptists. Why? Because there's a lot of Baptists who are not grounded, not founded, and not saved. Paul wrote to the Galatian believers who were deceived. He says, "Who hath bewitched you to believe another gospel?" Jude warned that there were certain teachers who had crept in unawares. The phrase unawares means that they entered in craftily, secretly, without notice, like a thief. Who knows? We might have some here. Jude 1, 3, and 4. Turn with me to that, just before Revelation. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. I've got to stop there just for a minute. If it speaks not according to this word, there's a problem. Somebody says, I held the Bible this way and I got a new interpretation there. Did you know, preacher, somebody just said to me about 3 months ago, have you examined the Bible code? I says, well, I know that that's been quite around a long time, but I have enough trouble just examining the Bible, reading and studying the Bible, and so if I hold it this way and look at every 17th word, hey, God's given us the Word of God to study to show ourselves approved. Don't spend a lot of time on these kooky doctrines that come up. There's a whole bunch of them. You know, I was reading the Bible the other day and I found Barack Obama when I looked at every 27th word. Pray for the guy. He needs our prayers. We're commanded to. You don't have to like him. You have to pray for him. But you see, that's earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. Look at this. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. What is it? It's the people who say that once you're saved, you can live any way you want to live. That's a lie. Titus chapter 2, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly and righteously in this present day. I don't care if Chuck Swindoll said it. His book, Grace Awakening, is one of the most blasphemous books that has been written on grace that I've ever read. Say, preacher. I know I'll never hold a candle to him, and I don't want to if that's the kind of stuff he's producing. Crept in unawares, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord. only God, the Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what's going on. False preachers and teachers were counterfeiting the teachings of the Word of God. They were twisting them. They were misleading them to say something that they did not say. Jude wrote that it was an urgent imperative for Christians to wage war on error in all forms and fight strenuously for the truth because they are entrusted with guarding the holy treasures of this book. And if you're a believer, don't just leave it up to me. I'm trying to teach you how to fight so that you will be in the battle. John said in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." The New Testament gives us solid criteria for testing the winds of doctrine and those who are preaching them and teaching them. Believers should be careful to judge everything that they hear by the Word of God. And as I mentioned to you earlier, I believe that the words of Isaiah are very applicable here to the law and to the testimonies. If they speak and not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. Now, to be sure, we are to test everything by the scriptures. Yet, I believe that there are some who have a special Holy Spirit-given gift to be able to judge and discern things that others often miss and make us aware of those things. I do think that there are men who have the gift of discerning spirits today, and I don't agree with everything he wrote, but David Hunt, I believe, is one of those. And T.A. McMahon, they're of the Berean Call. Dave Hunt's gone home to be with the Lord. I disagreed with Brother Hunt on the Bible version issue. I also believe that he's lesser known, but Martin Bobgin. He is particularly astute on psychoheresy type things. In fact, his ministry of Martin and Deidre, his wife, called Psychoheresy Awareness Network. I believe that Albert James Dagher, Media Spotlight, is another one who he's writing on how that Catholicism is infiltrating a lot of the once solid mission agencies and mission fields. And we just had this man here, and I just have to tell you something about this, but David Cloud. I think these are men who have very discerning spirits, and we were sitting riding in the car, you know, and I said, you know, Brother Cloud, I don't agree with you on everything. And he just laughed out loud, and he says, "Well, that's good." You see, just because somebody has given the gift of a discerning of spirits in certain areas, I just believe that God has given some of those men, and we can learn from them. Another one, but you have to be careful with them, but another one is John Ankerberg, and particularly the one who works with him, who does most of the research on his books that Ankerberg puts his name on, is John Weldon. I've gotten some of the best information on the New Age, things that I didn't know and didn't see by reading some of the things from Ankerberg and Weldon. Now, I think Ankerberg is off on some things as well. But what I'm saying is I think that they have that spiritual gift of discerning of spirits. And so you don't swallow everything hook, line, and sinker, because this is still the standard. But they can help you see some things that you miss. Pastor Longstein and I really, and through the years, it's been my goal to keep you apprised of what's going on in Christendom, so that if you get deceived, it's your own fault. I've tried to prepare you, and I'm going to continue to try and prepare you for those things. But here's the book. You know, if you are very familiar with this book, it is less likely you're going to be deceived. If you're not spending time in the book, look out. Look out. Because it's the book that you test everything by. I can tell you this as I close. I am so thankful I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I cannot tell you. We live in dark days, but in dark days, the light shines brighter, folks. So let your light shine. Let your light shine. Because instead of cursing the darkness, you might be the one who can lead someone to the light. Amen. God's given an uncommon opportunity to some here this morning. There's a message that went out earlier this morning to a group, and there was a number of people who aren't used to hearing that message who made professions of faith. Praise God. Let your light shine. You'll be able to reach people that I'll never be able to reach. They'll never come into First Baptist Church. I'll never knock at their door. That's why the Lord uses you. Who would have ever believed some of the doors that the Lord has opened to my daughter since she's become a bag lady? Oh, that sounded bad. Okay, 96 bags, 31 bags, whatever. But she's opened some doors for witnessing. Doors that I'll never get into. Same way with you. You work at places and run into people that you can have a dynamic influence in their life. But if you suffer from spiritual lockjaw, say, well, they're not going to like what I'm going to say. Let me just tell you, as the days get darker, they're going to like what you say less and less and less and less. That doesn't mean we should shut up our mouth more and more and more and more. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, man, looking at the days we're living in, I would flee to the cross if I were you. I'd get it nailed down.